university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the guest that we have today. His name is Matt Lane from Matt Lane Fitness, and I have had such an incredible time off camera getting to know Matt in the short time that we've known each other. So I'm tremendously excited to bring his exuberance and all of his energy and excitement to you all. Matt, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate anyone's ears that's hearing me right now. I'm very grateful for your time. And Brooke, thanks for having me on for real.
We are so excited. So Matt, before we get into the amazing things that you were telling me, give us a little insight into who you are, a little background.
Short story long, when I was 19, I was right out of high school, got a job at a hospital, just parking cars, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, went to school for art and realized that I didn't want my art to become a job and I didn't want to hate that art. And I started at the hospital, parking cars, and I started as a patient transporter, sort of worked my way in and then found the beauty that is healthcare and the real impact that you can have in healthcare. I worked for a long time, became a nurse, started working in the ICU. That was the pinnacle. I was like, if I can get there, that's awesome. I did that. And I was very rudely awakened to some of the bad that is healthcare. And it's sounding like I'm bashing healthcare, but healthcare has a lot of good, but it has a lot of bad. And so I left that role and went and became a hospice nurse and got a lot of perspective. But I kept getting further and further into fitness because of what I saw in healthcare. It was a passion of mine. And then I started a business with it. And then I really matured. Now that I'm 35 years old, I have had this business for 8 years. I started in healthcare when I was 19. So I've grown up and realized there's so much benefit to healthcare. And there's so much benefit to fitness, and they can both complement one another. So I've been fortunate to meet a lot of people in healthcare and in fitness to help me melt the worlds. And I utilize what I've learned as a nurse, still a practicing nurse, and as a trainer and a behavioral change specialist to help people not just do bicep curls and eat broccoli, like basically fit fitness into their lifestyle instead of fitting their lifestyle into fitness.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And regarding healthcare and fitness, it should be something that we should be talking about more. Their intersection, but we don't talk about preventative healthcare. We don't talk much, unfortunately, about how the choices that you make when you're young, when you're 18, 19, 20, dramatically impact your life in the long run. And I'm sure you saw a lot of instances of that when you were working in the ICU.
This is a stat I came up with in my head through working in the ICU. 80% of the patients that I saw, it was all self-induced problems. Now, you know, 20% got hit by a car, stuff like that. You can't control that, right? But, you know, we're talking about people with COPD and diabetes and heart disease and all that. And not to point a finger at those people, but when it's self-induced, you start, like I started questioning, am I helping or am I hurting this system? And again, at that time, I had more of a jaded view when I went to hospice and then worked in cardiology. I was able to understand, no, these are just different scopes in healthcare. And, you know, there's different pieces of the puzzle. And now that I'm, again, older, wiser, hopefully, I can see that there's a lot of good that healthcare does for sure.
There certainly is. But I think, you know, the choices that I made when I was younger certainly impact me now. And I think, you know, if I would have made a different choice when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, perhaps I wouldn't have some of the health problems that I do have today. So that's one of the reasons I felt incredibly passionate about bringing Matt on. Is I loved his intersection between the healthcare sector, which I'm a big believer in and feel is very important, but this fitness, what are the things that we can do to take our health into our own hands and be proactive versus sitting back?
That is probably one of the biggest things I've realized with fitness is that, and I myself, when I started in fitness, I I thought that there were these major changes that had to happen, and you had to work out 6 days a week to get in shape, and you had to eat nothing but healthy food. And what's really true is that an improvement in your health metabolically, like as far as your labs go on paper, physically, how you feel, mentally, what it does for you, it really does start with small changes, which just sounds just so corny, but you'd be amazed with if you drank enough water, if you just started drinking more water. Don't change anything. Eat the way you eat. Do all the things that you think are quote unquote bad and just start drinking more water. See what a difference you feel. Or let's focus on getting to sleep 1 hour earlier. Just see the difference. And those small changes are really what add up to the big changes that you ultimately want. And when you look at fitness people, it's not because they're doing crazy special stuff. And it's really easy to overcomplicate. Most of the time, it's because they're doing the really boring basic stuff over and over and over again. That's what leads to that fitness progress.
And I think it's so easy with changes such as these to feel like, oh, 1 hour of sleep isn't going to make a difference. Why would I do it? And especially in university, nobody, such as your parents or other caregivers, are telling you what to do. So for the first time in your life, you have full control over what you're going to do with your health.
You're 100% right. You hit the nail on the head that I don't blame people. Because when I say just get an extra hour of sleep, I'm sure somebody listening rolled their eyes. Like, I've heard that a billion times. But I question if the person that rolled their eyes has actually tried it for, you know, more than a few days. Because it takes more than a few days to feel the impacts of whatever you're shifting, you know?
No, absolutely. And for me, I drink a gallon of water a day, but I didn't always drink a gallon of water a day, and there is tremendous benefits. And not only physical benefits, there's massive emotional, mental, and social benefits. Let's talk to that for a second.
So that is honestly the biggest reason that I got into fitness when I look back. At 19 years old, I was in a parking lot, and I got in an altercation, could have easily been killed, ran my mouth, and I realized looking back that I had an ego. And when I got into fitness, I was like, let's get bigger, let's get stronger, let's feel like more. And I slowly realized, I was like, nah, I have everything I need in me. This just happens to be one aspect that I'm improving. And so it did even more for my brain than it did for my body. And there's something about forcing yourself to do something that nobody else is forcing you to do. Again, something that you want to do, that builds this character that's very difficult to put on paper and leads to, I think, decisions that changes you for the better as a human. And it starts with those small changes. It really, really does. Like I just started working out for like the first 8 months. I didn't pay attention to nutrition, didn't pay attention to sleep. I was 19, and it was just one thing. And it wasn't until 4 years in that I started looking at the nutrition. And so what the behavior change aspect, the mental fitness aspect that can come from it is huge. And I think that comes from the confidence you get of doing something over and over. It's very empowering.
What differences do you see in yourself from when you were 19 to today in terms of the way that you process and view the world?
I didn't think so at the time, but now that I'm 35, I see a lot of ego in the 19-year-old version of Matt. And through this fortunate, weird trajectory that I've had through healthcare and through fitness, I've gained this confidence again from doing the things that I've never been forced to do, things that I know are quote unquote good for me, that make me feel better and that are, you know, tough to do. So it's shifted me as a person all the way into today having this conversation with you. It's been huge, and I owe so much to fitness. I owe so much to healthcare. It's changed me tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the amazing thing that you did, I want to circle back to something we talked about previously, and it's that intersection between you being a nurse and you being a trainer. How do you think being a trainer impacts your work as a nurse? How do you think being a nurse impacts your work as a trainer?
I've also learned that I ask why a whole lot. And I think that serves me really well, because when I became a nurse, I was like, yes, I did it. Okay, cool. And then I got to this point, I was like, oh, this is, I just see so much bad. This is not good. Like, it's time to change careers. And then when I got into fitness, I was like, yes, this is great. This is perfect. And but I started seeing, again, the good and bad in both, but I kept asking why in both realms. And to this day, when I speak to clients and when I'm going through my own personal fitness and whatnot, asking why has just been so huge. And melting both the worlds together is, you know, okay, you might get bigger muscles if you work out this way, but does it make sense for you to really do from a health standpoint? You know, like, so I guess what I could say is I've been very fortunate to learn to go for evidence-based fitness. And a lot of that comes from healthcare. That comes from a lot of literature, a lot of studies. So melting both worlds is critical. And I can't say that one is more important than the other. They really do support one another.
Right. And you're not as susceptible to those fitness-based fads, because I know on Instagram and TikTok, there is so much misinformation.
Exactly. And that's I don't blame anybody. That's where a lot of people get a lot of their information, especially people that are in college. I totally get it. And it's, I implore you to ask why. You don't have to be mega skeptical at everything, but just ask why, and maybe not believe it at face value at off the rip, you know, and that's served me very well. It's made me learn again, why, instead of just, this is what I was told to do and this is what I'm going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. And be curious. It doesn't mean that you're accusing anyone, but be curious and use your critical thinking skills the same way you would if you were approaching something that seemed incorrect about money. Feel the same way about your body and be protective over your body, because we only get one.
You're 100% right. And speaking of literature, what I have learned with literature is that you could have the best workout program or the best nutrition program or whatever, like scientifically, these people have got the most results. But if it does not work for you, for whatever reason, if it's not convenient, if you don't enjoy the taste of the food, if you just don't like the workout, if you can't be consistent with it due to like a lack of enjoyment, it's probably not a solid plan for you. And that just keeps coming back. That just keeps coming back over just years and years of doing this. I keep finding it.
Now, Matt, I want to talk about something amazing that you have done with your life. Tell us about this journey that you were on. What inspired you to start this journey?
Yes. Can I get fit on fast food? So I did a documentary and I simultaneously released a book called Get Fit on Fast Food. I have a client still, and he asked me one day, he was like, hey, I eat out a lot. I'm busy. Can you suggest some meals at fast food restaurants for where I go? And I am not one to say you should not eat fast food ever. You should only eat organic broccoli or whatever. So again, sustainability is what really matters. But I started thinking about that question that he gave me, and I was like, well, what would I say to that? You know, because quote unquote, fast food is not good. That's what we are led to believe. And then I started thinking, because this client is overweight, and I was like, well, yes, I can tell him, you know, these are the better options. You have a higher protein, lower calorie ratio per this food and whatnot. And that's actually what I did in the book, a portion of the book. But I was like, I wonder, what if I tried to lose weight in the quote unquote worst way possible? Could I teach my clients something that, you know, it's not the specific food that makes you lose weight, it's the calories? And this is not something, this is not my opinion, this is just the law of thermodynamics, it's not my idea, it's come way before me. And that is something, for some reason, is so misunderstood by a lot of people, that if you want to lose weight, you have to eat less calories. And sure, there's a lot of nuance, but I was getting very fed up with a lot of people not understanding that, even people very close to me. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something that I've never done. There was pieces of me that felt like an imposter, to be honest with you, because I've been doing this for 16 years. I've been working out and eating well and all that. So I've been in shape. I've been fortunate. And I was like, I've never been overweight. So for 1 year, I ate all the foods I would normally eat, but I intentionally gained weight. I gained 50 pounds. And I just ate a whole bunch more food. And sure, I threw in Little Debbie's and stuff like that and liquid calories that helped me gain the weight. But after, right after I hit the 10-month mark, I hit the 50-pound mark, I took the next 60 days and only ate fast food. And I did blood work, a DEXA scan in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. And I had lost a little over 30 pounds. I normalized all my my blood level. So when I started gaining the weight, all my labs were great. They were fine. After I'd gained 50 pounds, I had labs that were way, way high, specifically my lipid panels, your HDL, your cholesterol, all that. Those were way jacked up. And then after eating the fast food for 60 days, all the labs were completely normal. And it was a very interesting and eye-opening experiment, because even I knew, I was like, I know if I eat in a calorie deficit, no matter what the food is, I'm going to lose weight. But it was very interesting for me to see the metabolic change of my body, like on paper, the labs improving so much, even though I was eating those fast food, quote unquote, bad food.
Wow. How did it impact you mentally and emotionally, this journey?
So the I have a fantastic editor, and we did a great job at, I've shot video every single day of it, going and getting the food, and when I was out of shape, and when I was losing the weight. And with that said, I felt despair. I felt trapped in my own body. The 10 months of gaining the 50 pounds, I kept thinking to myself, when I got to my heaviest was 210.8 or 211, if I did not know how to get out of this, I would be crushed. I knew, I was like, I wouldn't want to leave the house. I put my hands in front of my stomach. I would pull my shirt down. I wore baggier clothes. The confidence that I had was lower. And again, I say all this with I was very fortunate, because I knew how to get out of that, but I kept thinking in this lens of, what if I didn't know how? Because this is very common for a lot of people. And I felt so bad for so many of those people that I had ever talked to. And I had empathy then. I take it back. I had sympathy then, but I didn't really have empathy because I had never been there. So I just felt crushed. I felt low. I felt less confidence. Sad is a great way to put it, but I felt like a prisoner in my own body.
Wow. That's so insightful. I like the use of the word crushed. I think that's very descriptive. It's an important word. So when you were eating, let's say, the fast food, how did that impact you? You know, how did you feel as you were eating that?
So the 50 pounds is what was the kicker. And the first 30 days of eating nothing but fast food, trying to lose the weight, that was the toughest part, because I was at the heaviest weight and I was eating lower quality food. And to be honest with you, I was like, I had never done this. Like, I know the science and all that, but I've never actually done it. So it was a little bit scary. And it was tough. The first 30 days was really tough because, again, the lower quality food, I was weighing so much, like my joints hurt. Just getting up and walking and just things that I never knew, because I'd never been overweight like that. I was actually obese. It was extremely eye opening. And I guess that's the best way I could put it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of emotions came up around the food, just because, as you mentioned, lower quality food, feeling like you weren't making the best choice for yourself. Because I think that's a big thing for university students is, how do I make a choice when sometimes my options are limited? Sometimes my resources are limited. So then making the best choice becomes a little stressful or a little tough.
Exactly. Well, exactly. So, and I've worked with some college students, and like, I can think of somebody right now that, you know, they only ate at the university, which you're exactly right. It limits your options of what you can do. But I will say that, you know, it is definitely possible. And for the record, I'm not saying that anyone needs to go out and eat nothing but fast food. I'm not a proponent of that. The whole point of it was to show, like, look at what can be done with what you have. And it was meant to be empowering. And yeah, you're exactly right that, again, these are these small changes, these little decisions that, you know, you could, it's a corny thing to say, like, go for something that is grilled versus something that is fried. I know you've heard that before, but I will also say that get the thing that you actually enjoy with the balance of, all right, I know I need to eat around about this amount of calories if the goal was fat loss, weight loss.
Absolutely. So Matt, I have a tough question that I ask of almost everyone, and I know you're going to hit it out of the park. What are three pieces of advice that could be related to your area of expertise? They don't have to be. What are three pieces of advice you would give university-aged students?
Great question. Something that I kind of wonder why it wasn't in my life more was asking myself happiness. Why? And let me dive into happiness first. So what do I mean by that? Happiness, a lesson that I learned very quickly was go to school, get a good job, stable career, everything's great, awesome. I thought that that was going to be just top notch. That's it. Happiness was going to be there. But finding what you really want to do, what really makes you happy, and then not confusing that happiness with hard work. Because in my life, I've done things that I've just not enjoyed, and I stopped doing them. And then there's been a mixture of like, this has been really hard. Am I really happy doing this, or do I not want to do the hard work? So with all that said, not confusing your happiness for easy. So ultimately asking yourself, why are you doing this? Again, that goes back to always asking why. That's what's led me to where I am, is just constantly asking why. Really asking yourself why you want to be doing what you're doing. And my dad was a banker. It was, you know, an art degree was the last thing I should have done. And I heard that and love him to death. I'm very glad for the trajectory that I've ultimately taken. But, you know, that heavy influence, I probably would have made a different decision if I had more support. So again, I would implore you to ask yourself why you really want to do it, what's really going to make you happy, and don't confuse that hard work for, I don't want to do this.
I love that. Matt, is there something, a song or a quote or a mantra that you live your life by?
Man, this is going to sound so corny. The pursuit of happiness, it's probably one of my favorite movies. One, because that movie ultimately talks about working on happiness, working on what you really want to be doing, but also about the pursuit of happiness, in that happiness doesn't just hit you in the face. It is a decision. It is something that you work on. It is a trajectory that you take to get to, you know, that happiness that you want to. I used to think the happiness was a destination, but I learned through painstaking hours that happiness, yes, is a decision, but it's also, are you working on the things you want to be working on? Are you around the people you want to be around? And so, yeah, again, the pursuit of happiness pops up in my head all the time.
I think that's magical. Matt, if somebody wants to watch your documentary, where do they go?
So it's on YouTube. If you just type in, can I get fit on fast food? Or if you go to Matt Lane Fitness on YouTube, it'll pop up. And same thing on Amazon. The book is Get Fit on Fast Food. And if you watch the documentary, you'll hear about the book. And if you read the book, you'll actually have links to the documentary. So I cross-promoted in them both.
We love cross-promotion. Now, speaking of promotion, if somebody just adores you, they want to connect with you, where do they find you?
On all socials, I'm Matt Lane Fitness, and I highly encourage you to reach out, even if it's just a conversation or anything. If you're not looking to become a client or anything like that, by all means, Instagram's a great place to find me. Or if you want to email, it's contact@mattlanefitness.com. But yeah, I highly encourage you, because I love fitness, wellness. It's what I do. So I implore you to contact me.
Amazing. Okay, Matt, is there something that you wanted to say that I didn't ask you? As we wrap up here, is there any parting words of wisdom you want to share?
Knowing that I'm speaking to university students, it's not my quote, but it's so true. And I wish I would have been told when I was in college, but Steve Jobs said, you can never connect the dots looking forward. You can always connect them looking backwards. And what that means to me is that you can never know the perfect answer for yourself. If you're asking yourself, what should my major be? I have a client currently, he's like, he's in the middle of changing his major 3 times. And I'll just tell you that you can never know the perfect answer. You can only deal with what you have in front of you and ask yourself, is this what you want to be doing? And I promise you, if you continue with that being your North Star, you're going to live a life and create a life that you really enjoy and want. And don't terrorize yourself like I've done myself, always asking, am I making the right decision? Because you never know the way life is going to wind you in that path. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. And just know you're young. You got plenty of time.
Matt, you're the same as me. I terrorize myself with that same question and that same concept. So if anybody is feeling that or that's been their experience, you are not alone. Matt, I love this conversation. It has been so nourishing. It has been such a good reminder. And this one is super near and dear to my heart. So I thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me on today. It means so much. I'm honored. I'm honored to speak to you and to the listeners, to these students. It means so much. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.